You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Here with Rick Hummel of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Hall of Famer Rick Hummel. We appreciate your time spent with us. And first off, congratulations. This is just after your 45th anniversary at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and thought you would be a good person to bring some perspective to covering the All-Star game. And you mentioned your first All-Star game was 1980. Is that that's correct?
Yes, 1980.
Can you share a little bit about how covering the All-Star game has changed for you in those 36 years and how even the game itself has changed?
Well, now it's a major media event, and it was then, too, but it's been augmented by the Home Run Derby, which I have my opinions on. I'm not a big fan of that, but nonetheless, it's different. They didn't have any celebrity softball games. They didn't have anything else going on. They just had a game. And often, players played the entire game, shockingly enough, as the leagues tried to win. They didn't have any carrot of home field advantage. The leagues just tried to win. So. You'll never see that again, probably. You guys getting more than three at-bats in a game. Then the different aspects of these things have all brought more media involved. There's cable television, which we didn't have in 1980, to any extent anyway. Talk radio, internet. So the clubhouses and the fields are pretty jammed with working media, and I presume most of them are legitimate. Probably some are not, but most of them are. And it's very crowded.
One of the things that's also changed since you first started covering is obviously the game now counts. Do you have an opinion as to whether or not you like the fact that this game can dictate who gets home field advantage for the World Series, or do you think that should be determined in another way?
I would prefer to see the results of interleague play dictate the home field. Now, that gives everybody on every team a chance to be involved rather than just all-stars. However, I can understand the hotel keepers in big cities wanting to know in mid-July whether they're going to have to create openings for weekend or weekday games, possibly for playoffs and World Series. But I still think it's more fair to do it with interleague play and somehow let the hotel keepers fend for themselves at the end of the line here, because often if you're not going to let the best players play the whole game, and you're not, you've got people from second-tier teams often deciding the All-Star game. They have no horse in the race. You know, they're not going to be involved in the postseason, but they might be deciding who is.
Do you have, I mean, for the 36 year, 35, I guess, going into this year that you've covered this game, do you have a game or a memorable moment, something that stands out to you, kind of a favorite All-Star game that you have covered?
Well, the 1999 game, I think, in Boston, when Ted Williams made his last real appearance on the field, and they had the all-century team there, and that was fun. As for games, I like the 1994 game in Pittsburgh, where the National League came from behind, scoring in the 9th and 10th to beat the American League 8-7, something like that. And Jim Leland was coaching third for the Pirates. Jim Fregosi was the manager. The Phillies had won the pennant the year before, and Tony Gwynn was trying to score on a double by Moises Alou from first base, I think, and Jimmy had waved him home and virtually was sliding in along with Tony Gwynn at home plate at the same time. If you see a picture of that, you'll see Gwynn sliding and Leland's in the same frame.
Do you, you've talked to a lot of players that have played in this game. Do you think they have an appreciation for what the All-Star game is all about, or what's your kind of view on how the players kind of view this dual event?
I think they view it as a great thing to be selected. I'm disappointed when some of them don't play because of injury or quasi-injury. You know, some guys are not hurt that bad, and they don't play in the All-Star game at the next Thursday or Friday after the break. They're in the lineup. And I understand they had their obligations to their teams, but if it meant a lot to them, they'd try to play. In the old days, quote, old days, guys would play, and they would be disappointed not to play, but understood if they didn't. Red Shandy's told me on one or two occasions that as a second baseman he wasn't going to play. So their manager told him Jackie Robinson's going to play the whole game. Okay. and that's pretty much what Red had to pinch hit in the, you know, late innings to win the All-Star game in 1950 with a home run in the 14th in Comiskey Park, but he wasn't expecting to play that game either.
You've obviously covered the Cardinals through all of these years. Are there any standout Cardinal All-Star performances that come to mind?
Well, unfortunately, not really, because the last home run they hit was 1973, and the last winning pitcher was 1974. Or the other way around, I'm sorry, the winning pitcher was 1973. Rick Wise won in Kansas City. In 74, Rich Smith hit a home run in Pittsburgh. That's it. So no home runs in 40 years, no winning pitchers in 40 years. So while the Cardinals have had a preponderance of all-star players, they haven't been around for the gravy. They haven't done anything.
Do you, I mean, and maybe you've kind of hit on it before, some of the things maybe you like or dislike about the All-Star game. Are there any changes you would make? I mean, if you were the commissioner for the day and could change anything about the event or the week, are there any changes to the All-Star game that you would make?
I would for sure take out the rule that every team has to have a player. If they want to have a uniform, put a coach or a manager in there or something, a batting practice pitcher, anything, because sometimes you've reached into the depths to create a situation where this team has a player and they don't really deserve to have a player. And I dare say the fans in these particular cities are not staying up till 8, 9, 10, 11 o'clock, depending where they are, desperately hoping to get a glimpse of their one all-star in the game. I don't think that's the way it works. I mean, they're either going to watch the game or they're not. And they generally have league ties, so they want to see their league win. Well, if the league is going to win without any of your home team players involved, so be it.
Mm-hmm. With one of the kind of topics of discussion this year is all the Cubs that got voted in. What are your thoughts about the fan voting? I mean, I know this is an event for the fans, but then in the other respect, then maybe your most willing or most deserving all-stars don't always get voted in as starters.
Well, I would prefer to see only voting. I'm old school now, only voting in the ballots at the ballpark.
Okay.
I don't want to see any internet voting at all. You know, I don't want to see vote 25 times for a guy once. Mm-hmm. Once in every ballot is enough for a guy. If it's screwed up, throw it out like the political elections. I'm okay with the fans doing it because it's a fan-driven industry. It's a TV sport. And the fans deserve to have whoever they want in there. I do like the fact that players get some say in it, but the managers are handcuffed by having to take a player from every club. They could take even more guys from their own team if they want to as reward for what happened the year before. That's what generally happened. A manager would reward his own players by taking them the next year of the All-Star game. Everybody understood that was okay. So I would let the fans have the vote, but not so many different ways and so many times you can vote.
This year, the Cardinals have one representative, Matt Carpenter. Did it surprise you that they ended up with only one, or did you think there was anybody else on this team that was deserving, or maybe it was just, in some circumstances, a logjam for others to get in?
I thought if Russell didn't win at shortstop, and let's say Trevor Story of the Rockies did, that Diaz might have a chance to go, because Russell would not have gone mm-hmm. otherwise. Even though he's got a lot of RBIs and is a very good player, he's hitting .242. And I thought then Diaz might turn up on the second ballot. That's where Trevor Story turned up, because
yeah.
Corey Seager's the other shortstop. And they got into a spot where they had to take 3 second basemen, because you want Carpenter on your team, and Daniel Murphy deserved to be on the team, and of course so does Zobrist. And there's a glut at, third base, I guess, too, they have, or third, someplace mm-hmm. else at three players in the infield. And Diaz didn't make it. I still think Carlos Martinez might get a late chance to go if a pitcher comes off. Like Bumgarner's going to come off, I think, because he has to pitch Sunday. So that would create one spot. Mm-hmm. And Kershaw's already been replaced. They didn't say who replaced him, I don't think. But if Bumgarner comes off, then maybe Martinez has a shot. It seems odd that the team that won 100 games last year and is over 500 this year would have only one player. But Diaz and Martinez are really the only other guys I think would have legitimate chances to play. Molina could have been voted in. He wasn't, but he's not having the kind of years that Lucroy or Wilson Ramos are having.
You, as you look at the All-Star rosters that just came out, is there anything about this year's kind of group of talent that you're most looking for, anybody you're most looking forward to seeing, or anything that stands out to you about the rosters we're going to see next week?
I haven't seen some guys like Francisco Lindor of Cleveland play, some of those guys. I haven't seen the guys from Boston, Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley Jr., who will be starting. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see Ortiz in his last, I guess it's his last All-Star game, if he's still going to retire. I hope he gets to stay in for the whole time as DH and they use Encarnacion at some other point, you know, let Ortiz have every at-bat he can get. Pitching-wise, the National League looked like a dynamite operation until Bumgarner was slated to pitch Sunday and Kershaw got hurt. So you could have had those two, Jose Fernandez, Noah Syndergaard, and Arrieta pitching the first 5 or 6 innings. That'd get a pretty good jump on the American League, I would say.
Well, we appreciate it. We look forward to your coverage from San Diego next week, and we thank you for joining us and taking a little bit of time to talk about the All-Star game.
Well, thank you for asking. My pleasure.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.